Welcome back, my friend. My name is Victor Nieves. You're listening to The Victor Nieves Show. It has been a very interesting week so far. Planet Fitness is canceled. Washington State has absolutely lost their mind. Apparently, liberalism is actually a mental illness. We'll be talking about that and so much more. But before we jump into it, I want to take just a second here, as always, to point you in the best direction that I know how. If you listen to me on one thing, and one thing alone, I sincerely hope and I actually pray that it will be this simple truth, and that is the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ knows you and he loves you. The most important thing that you could ever do in your life is to accept the gift of salvation. I encourage you to do that if you have not already. Jumping in real quick, let's start with this story. Planet Fitness is canceled, and they're actually kind of freaking out about this. According to some of the reports, they're trying to figure out what to do. Their market shares are dropping. Their value is dropping. There's mass cancellations of people who are saying, you know what, listen, Planet Fitness, I'm not going to do business. I'm not going to do business with you. I'm not going to give you my money. And so you might be asking, what the heck is going on? What did I miss? Why is Planet Fitness under such fire? Well, you may know, you may not have. This one kind of went under the radar because, again, there's been so much happening this week. But Planet Fitness is canceled because there was a woman who was in the ladies' locker room. You might already kind of have, unfortunately, an idea where this is going, but there was a woman who is in the ladies' locker room at Planet Fitness, and she turns over and she sees this guy. And this isn't like a guy who's even got a compelling, you know, sometimes there's people who have really invested an awful lot of money and all of that stuff. And, you know, if you're squinting and maybe you just woke up and you look at him, you might think, oh, is that actually a woman? You know, it wasn't one of those. It's not one of the more compelling transvestites, if there is such a thing. But it's one of them that, like, this dude's done nothing. And he's got, like, a beard. You know, this is the most obviously male human being standing in the bathroom at Planet Fitness. In fact, he's shaving. He is shaving in the sink at Planet Fitness. And so this lady takes out her phone and she's like, what the heck is going on right now? You know, she's a little bit, not like old, but she's not some spring chicken. And so she's like, excuse me, this is the ladies' room, you know? She's not really accustomed to this, lived her whole life where men, shockingly enough, used the men's locker room, you know? And so she records it and she says, what's going on here? Planet Fitness has dudes that are shaving in the sink in the ladies' locker room. Well, how does this come around into a great cancellation? Well, word of this gets around to Planet Fitness. What do? Do they kick the guy out of the ladies' locker room? You know, where women are changing, by the way. I'm not sure exactly what the culture is inside of the ladies' locker room at a gym, but I can tell you, inside the men's locker room at a gym, people are walking around naked. Like, I don't prefer this, but it's just the truth. For whatever reason, some of y'all, you like to walk around butt naked in the YMCA locker room. It seems mildly unnecessary, in my opinion, but nonetheless, this is what happens in locker rooms. And I'm assuming that there's probably a similar culture in the women. I don't know, maybe not. But I do know for a fact, it's not uncommon nor forbidden for people to be naked and changing in the locker room. That's one of the things that happens in a locker room. So anyways, the woman who records the video is kicked out of Planet Fitness. She is the one who's told, you can't be here anymore. Because you're, I don't know, what, a transphobe? You're some sort of a bigot. How dare you have the audacity to say that that man shouldn't be shaving in the sink in the ladies' locker room? Listen, if you ever have somebody come to you and they ask you, what's the problem? Why do you care so much? What's the issue with allowing and affirming all of this transgender ideology? what's the harm, right? They'll sometimes come to you with this, and they'll paint this picture like, oh, it's not a big deal, guys. I mean, what are you? You just some sort of a bully? Are you just some sort of a jerk? Why can't you spit in the face of common sense, basic reality, and biology, and go along with a lie? Because of this, right? This. And this isn't even like a grotesque example. We've heard of far worse things that have happened in locker rooms and restrooms and things like that. But this, even if this was the worst thing that ever came of it, this is why you should care. Because a woman is being kicked out of a women's space, an area that is literally designated for women, that ought to be relatively safe, right? At least in the context that it should only be women in there. And she's getting kicked out. Not just that. Think of the implications of Planet Fitness saying, we support this man using the women's restroom so much so that we will kick out an innocent customer of ours so that he can be in that locker room where, again, people are naked. You could have little girls walk, I don't know, changing for swim practice, changing, whatever it might be. I don't know if they have pools in any Planet Fitnesses, but you get the idea, changing for some sort of a workout class or something like that. And this man thinks that he has some sort of a right to be in there. And, you know, I one time had a debate with somebody about this. And they were trying to say, well, you think that all transgender people are just predators or something? No, I never said that. Never once did I claim that all transgender people are somehow predators. Some may actually be so deluded in their head that they really do, like, think that they belong in there. Now, obviously, they don't, but they could be, as I suppose, as innocent as one in that circumstance could be, like, truly delusional and thinking, oh, yeah, this is, I just identify as a girl, so I just go in here. That's still an issue, right? It's still wrong. They shouldn't be allowed in. But on top of that, think of the gigantic opening that you present to the predators, whether it's a transgender predator, a straight predator, whatever it might be. If you tell men that they can go into a ladies' restroom or a bathroom or a locker room or whatever it might be, all they have to do is just identify as a girl, they get to go in there? What did you just do for all of the predators, the legitimate predators that are out there? You just told them that they now have a free pass to access a place where women ought to be able to reasonably think that they're safe from at least that, from at least a creepy male predator. I've said this so many times, and I'll say it so many more. A society that has completely and totally rejected basic foundational truths of life is not a society that will sustain. That is a recipe every single time. That is a recipe for complete disaster. And we're seeing that play out. Every time this kind of stuff happens again, we are seeing this stuff play out. Anyways, in other news, I want to touch on this really quickly. Washington State, like I said, has completely lost their minds. They will no longer require lawyers to pass the bar exam. Now, I keep my private life relatively private, but some of you may know this. My fiancé, soon-to-be wife, is an attorney. I was with her during the process of the bar exam, and I've actually heard very compelling arguments that you should get rid of the bar exam. I really have. So I don't actually have that much issue with getting rid of the bar, so long as there's an adequate replacement, maybe an internship, something like that. But the reason that Washington State has decided to get rid of the bar exam is absolutely insane. They are getting rid of it. I want to read this to you like verbatim. I want to give you the quote as to why they want to get rid of it. They say that the bar disproportionately and unnecessarily blocks marginalized groups from becoming attorneys. So that's all fancy talk to say that not enough minorities, in their opinion, at least, I don't know what statistics they presented for this, but we'll take them at their word, not enough minorities have been able to pass the bar exam in the state of Washington. And so instead of lowering the bar, right, pun intended, instead of lowering the bar, they just said, nah, who needs it anyway, right? We'll just get rid of the entire thing. this is so jaw-droppingly dumb. Do you want that attorney? Do you want that guy to be the one or girl, the one that's representing you in court someday, the one who literally couldn't reach the standards to become an attorney, and so the state came in and said, ooh, we need a little more DEI over here. We need a little more diversity in the whole attorney space, so we'll get rid of the bar exam, and you can just, it's okay. Don't worry, I know you failed. Don't worry about it. We'll just make you an attorney anyways. My question on top of that is, what's going to happen? Is this going to extend to the medical field? Is this going to extend to like engineers? At what point do we say diversity is so important? We don't need any tests or any standards. This is insane. All right, let's talk about this now. A new study out of Finland has apparently confirmed that, yes, as a matter of fact, liberalism actually is a mental illness. You know, that's been a joke, kind of a joke, sort of an insult, I guess, among many conservatives for years. I don't know, was it Michael Savage? Somebody first started saying that, and it spread like wildfire. And, it, you know, it's kind of true, right? Just at face value, you look at some of the policies that these liberals support, and you think, I don't know, without severe head trauma, I don't think that I could understand why someone would think it's a good idea to go and pursue some of these policies. And so liberalism, you know, we've always joked, is a mental illness. Well, a study out of Finland, like I said, really does kind of seem to confirm that. Now, all jokes aside, I do want to be clear, the results of this study are not causal results, right? We can't definitively say that liberalism is causing these people to have mental illnesses. But what they did find is extremely, extremely compelling correlation between people who identify as, you know, being woke, and, you know, they asked them a series of questions and their answers, those who were like extremely liberal, very woke, social justice-y. There was a really powerful correlation between those people and, you know, mental health problem, anxiety and depression and all of these different things. And, you know, listen, this should not, in total honesty, this should not surprise anyone, right? I mean, come on, what did you expect? And in fact, after I read about this Finland study, I made a video on social media, after I read a little bit about that, I actually came across more literature. This isn't the first of its kind study. There's actually quite a few studies that have come out, you know, over the years that pretty clearly say, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact. And we have to ask, like, why is that? Oh, I don't know. Why is it, do you think, that someone whose entire worldview is predicated on the idea that the world is, oh, oppressive, and you know, if you happen to be white and you're woke, you have to, like, hate yourself. You have to literally have all of this white guilt, self-loathing inside of you, this attitude like, oh, you're somehow responsible for what your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did, as if it was, you know, any worse than what happened from anyone else's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, but you, because of the color of your skin, you're a bad person, and, you know, all of this stuff that they literally, like, impose this on themselves. But I can't imagine, you know, these are people who hate themselves. Like, you have to wake up every morning, you look in the mirror, and you're like, ah, I'm a colonizer. Oh, I'm an oppressor. You know, imagine, I genuinely hope that you cannot. But imagine being in their shoes. It's no surprise at all that they're anxious or depressed or whatever it might be. And another aspect of this, I've talked about it before, is that victimhood is the highest title of honor among these people. Today's modern day radical left has a social hierarchy. It's like a totem pole, right? And it's a competition of sorts, because the higher you are on the totem pole, the more status, the more clout and, like, you know, pseudo nobility that you're given by these liberals. And the way that you move up on the totem pole is you have to prove to everyone else that you are more of a victim than they are, right? So if you happen to be, as an example, a straight white Christian male, you're at the very bottom, right? You get nothing. In fact, they hate you, okay? If you happen to fit that criteria, you are so low on the totem pole that that's where they start calling you an oppressor and blah, blah, blah. But if you happen to be a white male who is a homosexual, you move up a rung. Now, because you're higher on the totem pole, you get to cast stones at those who are beneath you. You have a higher title of honor, and so on and so forth, right? So now if you take somebody who might be multiracial, or you might, you know, whatever it is, you compound all of these victimhood titles, and it's like each time you can add another one, you get a little pin or a little badge, a medal or something that you can put on your chest, and you can tell all of the other woke social justice freaks, I have anxiety, bipolar disorder, I'm transgender, I'm non-binary, I'm lesbian, I'm black, I'm actually, you can just pull out all of these cards and they're like, whoa, I didn't know we had a general over here. This is a pretty big deal. And that really is, it's almost like a currency. It's like an Olympic game where all of these people are competing to try and prove that they are the one who is the most oppressed, and they've got it worse. Because again, like I said, it's the highest title of honor. And so they've actually kind of socially incentivized people to self-diagnose people, which is a huge problem, by the way. I mean, I'm not like a psychologist or a therapist or something, but there are so many people, especially young people, who are going around and self-diagnosing because it's like they think that it's cool. If you open up TikTok or Instagram and you find a lot of these young content creators, they'll all like self-diagnose themselves and say that they have autism or depression or anxiety or bipolar disorder or something like that. And listen, this is no knock on people who have actual diagnoses of these different conditions, but when these people who are putting it upon themselves like that, when they do that, that is a huge problem. I mean, that really is an issue. But the reason they do that is because they want to climb this hierarchy, this social totem pole. And it's no surprise that, you know, among the liberals, you just so happen to notice that they all are sharing in the same issue. And, you know, they've lost their mind. So I guess, again, like I said, I guess the old joke really isn't so much of a joke after all. These people actually, they're suffering from a mental illness, whether it's Trump derangement syndrome, just liberalism in and of itself, we can call a mental illness. But I thought that was funny and, you know, a little bit telling. In other news, I want to hit on this really quickly. You may know of this girl. Her name is Isabella De Luca. If you don't know anything about her, she's a very popular social media influencer. Her and I have run similar circles. I can't say that I know her personally very well, but, we run similar circles and network with the same people, so I'm familiar. I know Isabella. She has been charged with 5 counts. She's been arrested, charged with 5 counts, including theft of government property, because she was present at the Capitol on January 6th, and she made the crime of touching a table. Yeah, you heard that right. Touching a table. This is a very well-known Trump supporter, a fairly popular, you know, social media influencer. She makes a lot of conservative content, and, you know, I don't always agree with her on everything, but in this case, I mean, this is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous that you have, I mean, Hitler would be proud, and I'm not somebody to throw that around very often. I'm not somebody to like, dramatically, hyperbolically say, oh, what are you, Adolf Hitler? You know, but in cases like this, this is a young woman who is a threat to no one. She is a normal, average American woman. And she is being arrested, charged by the DOJ. Who knows what they're going to try and do to her? I mean, it's not very public as of right now. How, like, are they trying to get this girl in prison? Or what are we talking about? But they have arrested this woman, literally, for touching a table. And you know why it really is? It's because she's a Trump supporter, because the Antifa and the BLM people could burn cities and they faced no justice. In this case, you touch a table, boom, here comes the hammer of the law. Anyways, in some other news here, I came across this on X or on Twitter or whatever. By the way, if you like the show, be sure to follow me on social media. Just search It's Victor Nieves, V-I-C-T-O-R-N-I-E-V-E-S. It's Victor Nieves. Follow me over on X or Twitter or whatever. But I was scrolling through there, and I came across this post that was made by Politico, where they said that Donald Trump, quote, often uses jokes and laughter to normalize his behavior. And now you might think, okay, like, do we not all do that to a certain extent? You know, we make jokes about it or whatever. Here's the interesting kicker, the big brain, high IQ take from the experts over at Politico. They follow that statement up with, quote, a trick that's been used by autocrats in the past. Hang on. We have an update, everybody. Apparently, if you happen to make some jokes or use laughter, you might actually be Adolf Hitler or Mussolini or, I don't know, some sort of an autocratic dictator, somebody wielding complete and total power. Are these people stupid? Now, before you answer, that's a rhetorical question. The obvious answer is yes. These people at Politico, they're absolutely stupid. It's like they've lost their minds. How can you possibly say that Donald Trump is an autocrat, somebody, a ruler holding complete and total political power? How can you claim that this man is an autocrat? For one, he's literally not even in office right now. I had somebody ask me the other day, I did a podcast with someone, and they asked me, Victor, what would you say? This is a great question, by the way. They said, what would you say to the liberal who claims that Donald Trump is, for example, an autocrat, that he's a dictator, or at the very minimum, right, he's a wannabe dictator, that if he gets power, he simply won't give up his power? And I thought, you know, that's a good question, because people will ask these things. It's you know, we might understand the answer to it and rightfully recognize that it's kind of a dumb question, but, you know, it has to be addressed. And so what I told him is, I said, listen, to those people, to those liberals who might ask such a question, look at the scoreboard. If Donald Trump was a dictator, if he was even a wannabe dictator, an autocrat, blah, 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 then why didn't he act like it? Right? They always say this stupid stuff. They say, oh, Donald Trump is he's not going to freely allow the transfer of power. He's going to try and remain in office. He's not going to leave, right? He already did. Like, what are you talking about? He's not going to leave off. He literally already did. If he was the things that they claim he is, the scoreboard would look an awful lot different, right? If he wanted there to be an insurrection, oh my gosh, on January 6th, I'm not saying that this is a good thing, bad thing. I'm just telling you, this is my opinion. If Donald Trump wanted there to have been an insurrection on January 6th after the 2020 election, there would have been. He would have said, right? He wouldn't have told everyone, hey, peacefully, patriotically, make your voices heard. He wouldn't have later on told everyone to go home and to be peaceful, and he wouldn't have talked about law and order. Instead, if he actually was, right? They said he's literally Hitler. He's literally an autocrat. He's literally a dictator. If he actually was the things that they have claimed him to be, instead, he would have stood up. He would have punched on his, you know, on his podium a few times real dramatically, like Mussolini, and he would have said, we are going to burn this place to the ground, right? I mean, that's what a dictator would do. Do you think Adolf Hitler would have allowed himself to have been removed from office? No, he wouldn't have allowed. I mean, what kind of a stupid question is that? Like, realistic, do you think a dictator is going to allow himself to be removed from office? And they'll say, oh, but Donald Trump did. He questioned the election? Yeah, well, he has every right to do so. What does the scoreboard say? Did the man leave office? Yes, the guy left office. And by the way, he had every right to question it. He had every right to be a little hesitant to leave when they stole the election from him. We have more abnormalities in the 2020 election than we have ever seen in any election. The United States, we run our elections more similarly to a third world or an actual dictatorship than we do the rest of the civilized world. We don't even have freaking voter ID laws. We have states where there's 100,000 names on their voter registration lists that are dead people, people who don't even live there anymore, complete bloat on the voter logs, the voter. And they say, no, you can't question an election. Donald Trump had every right to do everything that he did. Maybe and then some, right? He had every right, as did the American people. to take issue with what happened in 2020. Yet despite all of that, the man still left on his own accord and allowed the peaceful transfer of power. The only thing he didn't do was show up to Joe Biden's inauguration. And if you think that is somehow an act of violence or him not peacefully transferring the power, you are one soft, soft individual. If that's all that it takes for you to think that this is some sort of a dictatorship, an autocratic evil man, oh my gosh, he's the worst thing ever. These people at Politico are dumb. By the way, one time Politico, maybe twice, three times by now, I don't know. There was one time for sure where Politico and a bunch of these other fact checkers, they tried to get on to me about something I said on the radio one day. They said, it was me talking about the Declaration of Independence. And there's a clip of this that's, it's since gone viral like 15 times. I don't know how many times this clip has been seen. It's got to be like 30, 40, 50 million views on this by now. I'm not even exaggerating because people keep resharing it and resharing it. Like recently, Alex Jones reshared it and a bunch of stuff like that, but it was a clip of me on radio talking about the Declaration of Independence. And I was saying, listen, there's a reason that the public education system that's run by Caesar isn't going to teach the Declaration of Independence, at least not in a meaningful way, right? I acknowledge that they, at the very least, mention the document, okay, but they're not teaching the spirit of the Declaration of Independence. I said, there's a reason that the government, in the government schools, is not going to teach children a anti-government sentiment, and it's not going to teach them that when any government becomes destructive to a certain ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish said government. Well, I had Politico come and they tried to, like, fact check me on that. They're like, actually, the Declaration of Independence is taught in schools all across the country, so debunked. And it's like, are you okay? So anyways, I brought all that up to say, I don't think that they like me very much because they reached out for comment, Politico did, and the comment that I gave them was not so nice. I don't even remember exactly what it was. I called them something like dirtbag pigs or something, that like lying filth or some garbage like that. I don't know. It's what they are. But anyways, no, these Politico people, of course, I ask the question, are they stupid rhetorically? Because they are obviously exceptionally dumb. And they say things like this. They just, it's surface value. I mean, it's laughably dumb. Something that's not laughable, however, something that should be deeply concerning, in fact, to all of us, is a story out of Massachusetts. You may have heard about this, you may not have. A group of eighth grade students are now facing criminal charges over what they claim to have been racist messages that they had posted in a Snapchat group chat. So these are a bunch of middle school kids. How old are you in eighth grade? Like 12? 13, 12, 11, something like that. I don't know. You're a kid. You're a kid. And they're saying some stuff in a group chat, which, listen, I haven't read all the messages. I've heard what they were supposedly saying. Are these things that I think eighth graders should be saying? No, it's not stuff that eighth graders should be saying. It's probably not stuff that anybody should be saying. But it was certainly a joke, right? You have these kids that are joking back and forth. They're posting these racist memes and whatever it might be. And it's like, okay, listen, you can disagree with their sense of humor. You can disagree with the idea that a child should be, you know, there's stuff that kids shouldn't be doing and talking about and saying. There's stuff that none of us should be doing and saying and blah, blah, blah. And I'm certainly not here to defend racism or anything like that. But I can tell you know, a couple of eighth grade kids that are saying stupid stuff in a group chat is the least of our concerns. What is the most of our concerns is the idea that a child would be facing criminal charges over a racist text message. This is a text message. It's not like the kid had some sort of a grand scheme. He's an eighth grader. It's not like they had some grand scheme to actually go and harm anyone or do anything crazy. They might have made stupid jokes. They might have said dumb things. And again, I'm not defending saying dumb things. We all have a weird sense of humor in our own way. I'm sure that there are some dark things that you laugh about that you probably shouldn't laugh about. And as of like 10, 15 years ago, racist jokes were just a thing that were said. Right? Are there some that are really nasty and you should? Yes, of course. But like there were so many things that now it's like, oh my gosh, you have to be canceled. I can't believe you made a racist joke. What? What happened? And actually, by the way, that's not even true. I have to clarify that. Racist jokes are completely fine. Literally everyone is okay with racist jokes. Only, however, when the racist joke is about white people, right? If you go online and you start making fun of white people, oh, you can do that till the cows come home. You'll be celebrated. You get, you know, all of these lovely, you know, shares and things like that on social media. Everybody's all about that. Right? Racist jokes are like the greatest thing that the world's ever heard of, as long as they're racist jokes about white people. Anyone else, then we got a big problem. Big problem. Don't you dare make any racist jokes about anybody else. But, you know, white people, it's fine. Anyways, these kids, they go and post some stuff that, you know, we can probably all agree they shouldn't have said. But this is in a group chat. A private group chat among a couple of friends in middle school. And they're getting a criminal charge. The state, you know, justice people or whatever, they're acting like they've got like some sort of a mafia boss on the hook. Like, we finally got him, guys. We're going to bring these kids to justice. What did they do? Oh, they said some stuff we didn't like. Oh. You know, you couldn't focus on anyone else just out of curiosity, you know? You couldn't focus on, like, violent criminals? No, there's no other cases that you need to be focusing on at all, Massachusetts? Not a single thing? I mean, you're telling me there's not a rape kit that needs to be visited, right? We have these terrible turnarounds on rape kits whenever a woman, you know, says that she's been raped and they do blah, 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 blah. Oh, but no, that's no focus on that. No, that's fine. Don't worry about that. We got to go after these 11-year-olds who said something that they shouldn't have said. What's that? You mean that there's a murder cold case? No, no. No need to look into the cold case on that murder or anything. The department's resources, we have to be very picky. We can't just go in and run down any old little murder case or anything like that. We have to go after these kids. And what we don't, you know, maybe recognize at first when we hear a story like that, maybe you do. But what many of us may not initially think of is the truth of the matter is we will all hang together, okay? We will all hang together. If there are 11-year-olds that are facing criminal charges for saying things in a Snapchat group chat, don't be so ignorant as to think that you're not next. That your messages with your family, your jokes, your comments that you make, even your off-color stuff, maybe something that you said when you were angry, in a bad mood, whatever, that you didn't even mean. If that is now fair game, right? Your private conversations, your Snapchat text messages, your group chats, if that is now fair game and something that you can be arrested for, you might think what these kids did was particularly disgusting. Okay, fine. But they will come for you tomorrow. Don't turn a blind eye to this because you're next. Every year, March 21st is celebrated as International Down Syndrome Day. And appropriately, because of that, you know, this week, a lot of people have been focusing on individuals who have Down syndrome and, you know, kind of celebrating them and their lives. And I want to take a second, for one, to remind everyone that individuals who have Down syndrome are just absolute blessings, right? When you meet them, they are just the most loving, the most joy-filled, the most kind people that you will ever meet. But I'm also reminded, you know, as we focus on them, of the horrible truth that so many people, these liberals, right, who claim, oh, they're such wonderful moral people, right, with their moral grandstanding and their stupid virtue signaling. These are the same people who will openly, unapologetically advocate for the complete extermination of people who have Down syndrome, right? When you get a diagnosis of Down syndrome in your child when you're pregnant, so many of these doctors will tell you that you need to just kill the child. You need to just have an abortion. That's horrible. It's been a minute since I've talked about abortion issues on the program. That's one that particularly sticks out to me as completely morally indefensible. The idea that you would kill someone because they happen to have a disability, because they're a little bit different than you are? Who the heck? I mean, for real, I, I don't mean to be rude about this, but who the heck do these people think that they are? These doctors that are going and telling these women that they, oh, that you don't even need to think about this one. You need to just go and have an abort. You need to just kill that child because they happen to be Down syndrome, as if that person's life is worth any less than anyone else's. I don't care if you happen to have a missing leg. I don't care if you have an extra chromosome. I don't care if you have any kind of a thing that makes you different. For goodness sakes, why is it that the people who are talking all this game, this lovey-dovey stuff about how virtuous they are and how, oh, we should celebrate everyone's differences and blah. Suddenly, that whole attitude seems to go clean out the window whenever it comes to discussing abortion and Down syndrome, because some countries, like in Europe, have tried to completely and dang near successfully completely eradicated Down syndrome in their country, and the way that they've done that is by just killing all of them. You know, there's been a lot of people throughout history, very famous people, who have subscribed to a pretty similar ethic as that one, that, oh, it's okay, those people are different, we can kill them. I don't think you want to be in that camp. I don't think you want to find yourself aligning with the people who are out here saying that just because someone might have a slight disability, that you can just take their life from them. That's absolutely disgusting. It's horrible. The way that they do that stuff. And real quick, while I talk about this subject, I understand that I may have listeners. You may be someone who has had an abortion. You may have even aborted a Down syndrome child. And listen, what I can tell you is that was, for one, that was wrong. Okay, but you know that. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Your conscience tells you that all the time. What I can tell you is that you should turn to Christ. If you have not already, you should turn to Christ where there is forgiveness in Christ. The cross is sufficient for whatever you may have done in your life. There is forgiveness and there is a way to heal from that. People actually have to heal from abortions. It scars men, it scars women, it scars pretty much everybody who has been involved in an abortion. It leaves real lasting damage. And I've said this before, but I honestly, genuinely believe that a lot of the people who are so vehemently pro-abortion, right, they will kick and they'll scream and they'll claw and scratch and they'll demand that there is nothing wrong with having an abortion. I believe that most cases, the real militant ones like that, are probably either men who have paid to have their own child killed, or they are women who have had a doctor kill their child. And I can't imagine what it's like to live with that. But what I can tell you is that if that happens to be you, if it happens to be that I'm describing your heart and your life and your experiences, it's not too late. Listen, it is not too late to turn around and be on the right side of history with this one. Some of the most powerful, some of the most influential voices in defense of life, people who have, through their influence, saved countless babies. Many of them were former abortionists themselves, like the doctors who literally did the abortion, or women who had had multiple abortions, men who have paid for multiple abortions. God can take whatever it is that you've had happen, whatever you have done in your life, and He can use you for good. He can make you a powerful advocate. So just because, listen, just because you've done something bad doesn't mean you have to double down and defend it. And this applies outside of abortion. This applies in your personal life, your day-to-day life. This is a reminder to myself as much as it is to anyone else. Just because you've done something bad, you've done something wrong, you've done something stupid, it doesn't mean you have to go and try and convince everyone else that that thing is now good. We see this very often with women who subscribed to the feminist narrative. There are so many of them who now find themselves a little bit older in life. Their biological window for having children has passed. They don't have a family, at least not a family of their own, no children, no husband, nothing like that. And they find themselves deeply lonely and facing the reality that maybe they're 50, 60 years old, that the next 30 years of their life, they're going to be spending alone. No husband, no kids. They might have a couple dogs or something, but that's all that they're going to have. And they were sold a lie by the feminists who told them that the most powerful thing you can do as a woman is to behave like a man. And you can climb the corporate ladder, don't have kids, don't settle down, don't have a husband, a family, or anything like that. You just need to go and pursue corporate, you know, capitalist ideas. Nothing wrong with capitalism, nothing wrong with, you know, women being successful in their own right. But so many of these women, they find themselves deeply unsatisfied. And they watch as their friends who did settle down, who did have kids, who did have, you know, a spouse and things like that, they watch as those people have family surrounding them as they get older in life. They get to have the Christmases with their grandkids and different things like that, and they know that they're never going to be able to have that. And so what they'll do is they'll try and convince the rest of the world that that's somehow good. I mean, we've seen like movie stars and famous people who are telling women, this is empowering. My life is actually the one that's super empowering. I forget her name. But there was one of these movie stars, some lady, she's like in her 60s, I think now, and she was doing a vlog of her own, like a day in the life of whomever it was, right? And she's trying to brag that she doesn't have to take her kids to school. And she doesn't have to make breakfast for anyone but herself. And she doesn't, you know, she's listing off all of these things like, oh, isn't my life so wonderful? It's like, no, that's the most obvious cope I've ever seen in my life. You can see it in their eyes. They're like dead inside. And again, I say, just because you've done silly things or you've made bad decisions or maybe you fell victim to a narrative, right? Maybe it wasn't even like your fault. You were just told, hey, this is what you should do. And you did it. That doesn't mean you have to defend it. Okay, that's one of the most important pieces of advice that I can give out there. And it's advice to myself and advice to everyone else for that matter. Before we run out of time, real quick. The state of Texas, and this has happened in a few different states, but most recently, the state of Texas has passed a new law, legislation that requires anyone who wants to access online pornography to verify their age. Now, this is an action taken clearly to protect children because kids are exposed to pornography at a very, very young age. The average age, I believe, in the United States is 11. For a child to be exposed to pornographic material, the average age is somewhere around 11 years old. Some studies saying even lower. And so Texas proactively takes a measure to stop children from being exposed to online smut and pornography. Well, some of the largest smut distributors of e-prostitution, whatever it is you want to call this, some of the largest distributors out there, in response, have said, okay, we are no longer going to allow people in the state of Texas to visit our website, to see our online smut, because if you won't allow us to show this stuff to children, then we aren't even going to be in your state. Now, to me, that's a win-win. It's also incredibly telling. The industry of online smut and filth has made it incredibly clear that they want children to be exposed to this trash. And I have so many people, when I talk about this, that will come out of the woodworks to defend pornography. And they'll say, no, it's completely fine. Again, go back to what I just talked about. Just because you have done bad things and you know that they're bad things doesn't mean that you have to go and defend it and say, no, everybody needs to be exposed at this at 11 years old. This stuff is absolute filth. And in my opinion, honest, I'll leave you with this. In my opinion, it was true before, but it's especially true now that they have clearly made it known that they want to target children. It's time to ban it all. That's obscene. That's filth. It shouldn't be protected under the First Amendment. It needs to be completely outright banned across the board. Get rid of all of it. You want to go after the kids? We'll get rid of you. How about that? Keep me in your prayers. Keep your country in your prayers. Till next time. God bless.